listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Our guest the next 2 hours is Jerry Day. His websites are freedomtaker.com and jerryday.com. And Jerry, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Deanna. Thank you so much for having me on. One correction. I refer people to freedomtaker.com and emfhelpcenter.com, if you can make note of that.
Help Center. There. You have a link from the help from freedomtaker.com to EMF Help Center, right?
Yeah. The EMF Help Center is largely focused on the smart meter problems and electromagnetic sensitivity problems. So that's a kind of its own special category. The Freedom Taker is a little more general.
Right. I love your website.
I just
love your website, Freedom Taker. I have printed off the vaccine protocol. The vaccine, what
there are
that?
Two documents, vaccine refusal notice and conditional acceptance, which I could explain. There's some tricky legal footwork involved in that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. I have the conditional one.
Yeah.
And I printed it off, filled it out, set my front door.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You have it by your front door, you say? Or?
Yes, I have it by my front door.
Yeah. Right. So have one in the car, too. Because if you wind up at the doctor and they say, oh, by the way, you have to have a vaccine today, you say, no, I don't. And I'm the one who decides who gets to stab me or provide medical treatment for me, according to the Geneva Conventions. And, by the way, here's this, conditional acceptance on your possibly hazardous and toxic vaccine that you're offering me, possibly DNA altering, material in it and aborted fetus tissue and whatever. So, the conditional acceptance, just to make it clear to your listeners what that is it's a document that you present to anyone that's offering you a vaccination or especially if they're offering it to you with a threat that it's mandatory, you say, well, then you're going to have to show me how it's safe and effective, and you're going to have to show me how you have personal liability if your vaccine harms me. And here's my conditional acceptance, and you must sign this. That means I accept your vaccination if you show its safety and effectiveness and take liability for the harm. And if they refuse to sign that, they are saying, I refuse to take liability for the harm. So that means that they know there is harm. If there was no harm, they wouldn't refuse. If they knew there was no harm to their vaccine, they would gladly sign your liability contract. But if they refuse to sign it, that is an admission that they know there is harm involved, certainly risk. And once there's risk, there's choice, and there's no way around that. These are medical treatments. These have to be consensual. There is simply no way around that. International law supports that.
Wow. Amazing. It's amazing. And, of course, a lot of people, parents with children who are in school, are forced or encouraged. Well, they're forced without really thinking. They say, oh, our children can't attend school unless they're fully vaccinated. And they just go ahead and vaccinate their children, have their children vaccinated, which is a terrible idea.
Right. Well, you can coerce a lot of very bad behavior, if they're ignorant, you know, with ignorance. If people are not informed and aware of the hazards and risks and the legal violations involved, and they just go, oh, that's what I have to do to keep my kid at school. No, that's not what you have to do. You know, you're responsible to get your kid to school, not to vaccinate them or give them a tattoo on their forehead or any other thing in order to get them to school. You're required to take your child to school You know, they can't start putting conditions on that, like, oh, by the way, since you're required to have your child in school, we will refuse to let you have your child in school unless you do this other thing. You know, no, that's not how it works. You want my child in school or not. You know, you say to the school superintendent or whoever, that's your choice. I'll be here or not. You don't dictate medical treatment to my family. That has nothing to do with my child's obligation to go to school. And I'm sure that if you look even deeper, you would find that, you know, there's probably no way to enforce even a legal obligation to put a child in school. You know, we live in a free country, you know, we can teach our own kids. That's how this country was formed. In fact, there were hardly, schools for the first 100 years. And we had far better literacy and educational levels back then than we do now. So our schools are a total failure. Our schools have been a total failure. It's an indoctrination system. It's not an educational system. We know this.
Right. Now, this refusal of vaccinations, it's a 5-page document, which is also very good. And people can download it, fill it out.
That's at freedomtaker.com. Download.
Yes.
And we don't collect any information. We don't collect any email address. We don't collect any ISP address. It's just you download it, you get it, we're all done.
Amazing things in this document. Amazing. one of the things it says, I will treat anyone who threatens to violate my body as a criminal assailant.
Well, sure.
Yeah. And that's really what they are.
Absolutely. If someone's threatening you with unlawful medical procedure, and it's unlawful if it's not consensual, that is a criminal assailant.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Amazing. How did you happen to put all this together? I know you must, your research, you know, 18 hours a day. How did you?
Well, no, I follow all, you know, the information that's coming out, and I look for very opposing viewpoints. You know, I don't just go to my favorite, you know, conservative or liberal or progressive or
right.
you know, libertarian place. I want to go everywhere, and you know, it all seeps in, and then at a certain point, I just sort of have a brain dump, and something comes out.
They're very well put.
Thank you.
Dan Spahn says, I have seen no evidence that you know every ingredient of your vaccine. And that is so true.
They have no clue what's in there. Even the manufacturers, if they know, won't even tell you, you know, all of the things that are in there. We've had to, you know, through screaming and shouting, we've had to extract some of this information, and that's how they turn up, you know, aborted fetal tissue. That's how they turn up RNA, DNA modifying elements. That's how they turn up the adjuvants, the aluminums, the heavy metals, you know, and it just goes, the list goes on and on. And you realize the way that these ingredients were discovered, there is no guarantee whatsoever that those are the only harmful or toxic ingredients in the vaccine, and it becomes a serious question of why is all this junk in there? You know, you're supposed to be trying to prevent disease. You know, why do you do all this? You know, and you have to, these adjuvants are a good example. You have to shock the system into reacting to the antibody, to create the antibodies, and shocking the system is done through toxic influence. So the whole concept of vaccines from the get-go is, it's a very questionable medical method of providing or creating immunity. Very questionable. In fact, it's probably soon one day going to be looked at extremely barbaric and counterproductive. The amount of childhood disease now is double what it was when I was a child, when they were only giving us 3 or 4 vaccinations. I got asthma from one of those. So it was happening even back then. So childhood illness is to a great degree, caused, by these measures. And I just discovered a few minutes ago how, I don't know if you know that named Catherine Austin Fitz.
Oh, yes, of course. I've interviewed
brilliant,
her.
Brilliant researcher and with a Solari report and what all. Yeah, and I just saw her in conversation with Tenpenny. What's her name? Vaccine researcher.
Right. Sherry Tenpenny. I interviewed her recently too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, those two together are a powerhouse, and I just ran across an interview they just released recently, I think today. And it talked about Catherine Austin Fitz follows all the money and follows the power and follows the agendas. And she discovers things that are just amazing. The laws that have created the immunity for the pharmaceutical companies, for the harm that their pharmaceutical products do, cause them to get involved in a huge campaign of new vaccines, because as soon as they became immune from liability, they said, okay, now we're gonna come out with all kinds of these products because we make billions on every single one, and the only way they can maintain the immunity is to go into childhood vaccination. If it's something that's designated for a child vaccination, for early life vaccination, then they enjoy the immunity. So they take products that are not appropriate for young children and designate them for young children so they will be immune from the harm. And so they're giving, for instance, hepatitis B injections to 6-month-olds. And there's no chance in the world that a 6-year-old or a 6-month-old would have any exposure to hepatitis B. And then the hepatitis B shots cause injuries and autism and all kinds of things. So it's really a hell we're in of corruption and misinformation.
Right. There's an email question. Are there really children who have been denied public school educations for failing to be vaccinated? Or is it just go ahead.
No, I don't know. That's a great question. And, of course, we want to see where a child was refused school for refusing vaccination or whatever. Of course, they threaten that all the time. They talk about that. What I've discovered now is that every single minute of every day, the media is continually pounding this. COVID is bad. COVID is real. Oh, there's more death cases. Oh, the hospitals are jammed. Oh, this. It's always COVID is bad. COVID is real. COVID is bad. COVID is real. Over and over again, one way or another, constantly, all day, every day. So it's the same thing with, we told these parents they can't have their child in school. You know, they're endangering the lives of the other children, so no, they're not allowed to go to school, and they'll be prosecuted for that, blah, blah, blah. I haven't seen any real cases of that ever happening. I think it would be completely impossible to put together a legal construct to even approach doing that to a parent. You know, all the parent has to say is, okay, the child has to be educated. I'll educate them, I'll homeschool them, and, we're done with that conversation. So this is why I think homeschooling is exploding now, is because they're attaching so many strings to education. You know, even parenthood, you know, Child Protective Services coming to you and, you know, determining whether or not you're the proper kind of parent, and then if not, literally taking your children from your household and putting them into these, you know, foster care, sex trafficking hellholes. So we have major problems with our central authorities, and it's to the point now where it should be so obvious to everyone that something fundamental needs to change in our system. You're just asking for trouble to go along in compliance at this point.
But so many people do. I just don't understand why people aren't asking more questions, that they aren't rebelling over the masks and all the lockdowns and the nonsense.
Well, all of, like I say, every minute of every day they're pounding you with, oh, this is real, this mm-hmm. is bad, and then of course the media constantly talks about how we're supposed to comply with, you know, authorities, you know, and how we're supposed to trust government, and how, you know, Anthony Fauci is telling us how we need to behave, and, you know, this complete nonsense. you know, constant from school through media, everywhere you turn is this, you know, they talk about repetition as a way to create reality. You know, you just, that was back to Hitler and Mussolini and Stalin. They say, yeah, if you just repeat a lie big enough and long enough, eventually people will believe it. And it's true simply from the dynamic that when the government tells you, oh, this is the truth, this is the truth, this is the truth, you go, well, that may not be the truth, but if I don't go by that, I'm going to have the government on my back. So, all right, that's the truth. You know, you just accept, you just go, okay, even when you know it's a lie, you just go, all right, we'll all pretend that that's how it is. You know, oh yeah, wearing masks will prevent infectious disease. You know, this is a complete lie. And the CDC and the OSHA have documents on this that wearing masks is not only does not prevent communicable disease, but it causes illnesses and injuries of its own. But somebody decided, oh, you know, we'll have this mask wearing party, you know, and everybody's got to do that. So, you know, all right, it's very obvious from media and government that they're telling us to wear masks. So people say, okay, I can stay out of trouble and be compliant by wearing a mask. Okay, whatever. It's just a mask. No, it's making you sick. It's depriving you of oxygen. After you wear it for 2 hours, you're getting brain damage. You don't know this? Go look it up, you know, and find out before you do something stupid like wear a mask all day because somebody told you. It's pretty disturbing to me.
Oh, frankly. It is. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. It's, it is very disturbing. I don't personally wear one. I know you don't wear one.
Well, I have to get into stores, you know, and I don't make a big deal out of it. Usually I don't have my nose covered, you know, and then once in the last, whatever this has been, 9 months, did anyone call me on that, not having the nose covered? I have a way to breathe that way. And I certainly won't do business with that store again, where they're playing the masked Nazi game on their customers. You know, you gotta decide if you want customers or if you want people to wear masks. You can't have it both ways at all times, and you're going to pay a price if you turn your business into a mask enforcement agency. That's obviously a store that I never want to go into, and I'm sure a lot of people have the same feeling. And you know, you can't play games like that when you run a business. You can't just get ideological or political on your customers and say you can only be our customer if you do this, you know, behavior. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. Businesses in this economy with our particular current monetary situation, our current debt situation, our current tax situation, you do not have the margin to exclude any given percent of your customers on irrelevant ideological grounds. You have to treat every customer as, you know, the customer is always right. The customer gets what they need. The customer is what we're here for. That's the only way a business can survive in our current economic climate.
Certainly, and so many small businesses have just simply closed down.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, they think they've been forced to. I don't know if you've talked to Peggy Hall or had her on or found her.
No,
yet.
I haven't.
She has the website, The Healthy American. I think the YouTube channel, The Healthy American, Peggy Hall has done amazing work at finding the legalities of this and finding out that the governors have zero authority to issue edicts to the public, zero. And they don't make laws. Governors don't make laws. Mayors don't make laws. They don't give orders to the public. That is a fascist thing, and that's a dictator thing. That's not a democracy thing.
We're going to go into a break in about 30 seconds. And so it's amazing. We are going to have to – I'm going to have to look up Peggy Hall. I think everybody should be studying this, researching this, and learning for themselves what they're willing to tolerate, what they're willing to do to retain their independence and their health and whatever it is they have to do, they need to do it for themselves. Okay, we will be right back in 3 minutes.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
All righty. Welcome back. Our guest is Jerry Day. His websites are jerryday.com, freedomtaker.com, emfhelpcenter.com. This is a very, very big issue, and I want to get back to the vaccines, but EMFs, now they have already rolled out 5G. The smart meters are a huge issue. The frequencies especially when you drive by a school, go by a hospital, or other, venues like that or institutions, you can feel, I can feel the frequency, and it's horrific.
Now, do you consider yourself to be electromagnetic sensitive?
Yes.
Yeah, because most people cannot feel electromagnetic radiation unless it's just at ridiculous power levels. Most people, you know, everyone will be affected by it. Everyone will develop illnesses and injuries long term. But the sensitive people, and this is a classification of people because not everyone is, they feel it immediately. They feel it around them. They feel more comfortable when there is no, are no radio frequencies or electric fields affecting them. And many people who understand that they are sensitive to the radio frequencies don't understand that they are probably exactly as sensitive to electric fields. And electric fields affect them in the same way. If you're electromagnetic sensitive, radio frequencies and electric fields are essentially the same thing. So there are almost every house has wiring errors or appliances that cause dirty electricity. Every electronic utility meter causes dirty electricity for certain reasons. I could explain that. So it's almost impossible now for people to not be in some sort of exposure field. And those people who are electromagnetic sensitive, there's kind of two categories, those who know it and who know they have to limit and escape these exposures. And there's the other group, which is probably the larger group, who feels sick and doesn't know why and doesn't realize that it is the electromagnetic fields, the electric fields and the radio frequencies that are making them feel bad, feel sick.
Well, even when they first...
They go to the doctor and they go to the doctor and they get, you know, prescribed drugs and things that are completely inappropriate. The doctors are quite often clueless about electromagnetic sensitivity.
Sure. Even when they introduced the type of delivery of electricity, there were illnesses that all of a sudden became very common. Before the introduction of Edison-style delivery, cancer was very rare.
Right.
Am I correct?
Yeah, the book Dirty Electricity by Sam Milham is a great record of that, where he tracks his career as a EMF scientist and physician, and he discovered through deep and very careful research and extensive research and also on the ground kind of, he was involved in trying to de-electrify schools where they would find, pandemics of certain ailments and certain sensitivities. And he would go in and say, well, sure, you've got this big transformer facility right in the middle of your campus, you know, or something. And there would be students right adjacent to that who were all suffering from major illnesses and behavioral problems and all kinds of things. And so that book, Dirty Electricity, talks about how when the electric services went on grid, and this was in about 1910 or 1920, and the cities were the first place to be wired, and then 20 years later, it reached the urban areas. And so 20 years after the cities were wired, there was a cancer epidemic in the cities, not in the country. And then 20 years later, there was a cancer epidemic in the country. All of it perfectly correlated to when the electric fields became present. Now,
Jerry, we are going to go to a break momentarily, and we'll pick this up on the other side of the break. And I interviewed Stanley Milham. This is very good on his book, Dirty Electricity. Yes. Okay, we'll be right back momentarily. And he recommends the Graham Stetzer filters, which I have on just about every I checked all my outlets, and I have those all over the house. And when I checked the one downstairs in the utility room, it's not supposed to be above 50. Mine was 350. Okay, we'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest is Jerry Day. His websites are jerryday.com, freedomtaker.com, and emfhelpcenter.com. And we were discussing Milham's book, Dirty Electricity, and smart meters, and all of these things that are on our homes and in our homes that are really very dangerous. I don't have a smart meter. I pay extra not to have one. I also don't have any electricity in my bedroom except for one Himalayan salt lamp. So at night, that's the only current I have going. I shut down the whole system because I to try to avoid frequencies. Bad ones.
.com, we have, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Am I muted? Okay. We have found a company in Montana, the SADC USA company, that makes some advanced products on that we recommend, which they have a whole house line conditioner, which is installed at the service panel, or they have more high performance, kind of higher performance plug-in filters that are the maximum number of them you would need to do whole house line filtering would be 4 of them, as opposed to the Stetzers and certain of the gadget type ones where they'd say, oh no, buy 20 or 30 of them, put them in every plug in your house, and go around and measure. That's a little bit older technology, and we've got some better solutions there at emfhelpcenter.com right now.
Is that the Power Perfect box? Is that the one that you're talking about?
Yeah, that's the whole house line conditioner. There's several grades of that. You get a super duty one if you have solar, because if you have solar, you have an inverter and you have extra dirty electricity there. You need extra power for to clean your lines. If you have a standard house, not too big, not too many crazy appliances, you know, like pool pumps and big central AC units, then all you need is a standard duty, whole house line conditioner. And like I say, that installs at the service panel, and then you just set it and forget it, and it's an easy install. It takes a electrician usually to install it. There's a few wires that go into your breaker panel, and then you're done. You're all set. And then if you want to go more affordably, or you know you're a renter, you don't want to install something like that, you can get up to four of the SADC USA plug-in units, which are high performance and have, a high degree of clearing power. So if you're careful about where you plug them in, if you have 4 of them, you know, every breaker panel has 2 vertical rows of switches. And that means that your 240 volt service that's coming in has been split into 120 volt phases. And, so you get 2 of your plug-ins on each side of that service panel. So if on the left side you have your bedroom and your bathroom, on the right side you have your kitchen and your dining room, you plug one of the 4 into each of those to make sure you're on both sides of your service panel, both phases, and then you've got the equivalent of whole house line conditioning, and that's more a little more affordable than the whole house line conditioner, but just as effective. And so there's different options for people on different budgets with different size houses, different needs, different situations.
Wow. Well, I think that a lot of people really don't realize what is making them sick, which is really, really unfortunate.
Yeah, that's true. Many people, I mean, we have at EMFHealthCenter.com on the homepage, if you scroll down, there's a list of symptoms there that if you have these symptoms, these are characteristic of electromagnetic sensitivity or electromagnetic injury. And so that's helpful for people to go look at those symptoms. And, you know, it starts with insomnia and headaches and neurological kind of issues and mood swings and changed relationships, anxiety. There's a whole list there. But the first thing we hear people complain about usually is disruption to their sleep, insomnia or sleep problems. And quite often, you know, we even hear stories like every morning at exactly 3 a.m, I wake up. And that's not an accident. That's because your smart meter is charging out and sending the data and going into hyper mode right at 3 a.m. every morning. And they do it during that time of day thinking that no one will notice. It's the worst time they could do it, during your sleeping time. You know, the utility companies have not done things wisely or ethically, and there are a lot of people who are suffering a lot. We get calls every day from people who, you know, have one issue or another. I had a heartbreaking call from a woman who said, well, my husband just died from our smart meter. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, well, we built our retirement home, brand new home, and moved into it, and on the first day we moved in, he said he didn't feel well in there. And he kept complaining of this and that. Just his energy was running down, he couldn't sleep, all kinds of things he was complaining about. And then within a few months, they went to the doctor, and he had cancer. Oh. And he developed some fatal cancer, and within a year, he passed away. And the lady I was speaking to, his wife, said, I have the same thing, but I don't have it as severely, and I was feeling the same things as he was, and it's terrifying to see him die and realize that I'm going through the same process. And as soon as she realized, it took that year for them to realize, because the doctors are ignorant and the utility company won't tell you anything. So it took them a year to figure out what the problem was, and by that time, he had died, and she was then, you know, having to do drastic mitigation, you know, getting away from that and, taking extreme measures to, keep herself out of the exposures. You know, they had in that house, they had, serious electric field problems and radio frequency problems, because one of the problems with the electronic utility meters is that they have switch mode power supplies. The idea of a electronic utility meter is it is a surveillance device. That's what the electronics are in there. It monitors everything you do with your electricity all day, every day. And that surveillance device requires powering. And the powering is done by stealing electricity from you through something called a switch mode power supply and diverting it to the surveillance device. And that switch mode power supply disrupts all your current and causes dirty electricity all over the house. So that's something, harmful fields you're living in just so they can steal electricity to spy on you and then they do the radio frequencies to send the data out, and they don't even have to do that. They could collect the data different other ways. But they decided the cheapest and easiest was to just wirelessly zap it out with high energy density pulsed weaponized radiation. And so they get you both ways. But even the people who are aware of the radio frequency problems do not quite understand quite often the switch mode power supply and the dirty electricity problems. So when you said you have that opt-out meter, I'm sorry, but I can tell you, you may not have radio frequencies, but you certainly have dirty electricity. And this is our big argument. This is our big argument with the utility companies, is that they have these opt-out programs. They charge you to have a less expensive meter. And they say, well, we have to charge you because we have to change it out, and then we have to read your meter on site. Well, they've always charged us to read the meter on site. They never discounted that. So they're already collecting the money for that. They don't need to charge more for that. And then it's a less expensive meter if you want the electromechanical meter. So you should get a discount for having no electronic utility meter. But they charge you, in some cases, quite a lot in every month for the rest of your life to have a non-transmitting meter. And there are four major problems with electronic utility meters, and they've only corrected one of them. There's radiation, surveillance, fire hazard, and dirty electricity. So they take the RF off of that, and they say, okay, solve the problem. You need to pay us to not have the RF. Well, what about the other problems, the dirty electricity, the surveillance? And then there's fire hazard, because there's no surge protection in an electronic meter. When you put flammable electronics inside a utility meter, the surge protection no longer works. It's the flammable components are too close to the surge and they explode in flames whether there's surge protection or not. So they just removed the surge protection from the electronic utility meters. And there's thousands, tens of thousands of fires every year nationally from that problem whenever there's a surge on the line. And you see, if you go search online for smart meter fire, you'll see thousands of pictures of them, of, you know, the scorched walls and the burned down houses and the people who have died from that. This is not something I'm making up or imagining. This is all over the web. And, of course, they don't report it. You know, the utility companies pay a lot of advertising dollars, and then the stations that receive those advertising dollars do not want to report these things. For obvious reasons, so we're all kept in ignorance about it.
The meter that I have is very old. It was put on the house when the house was built in 1985. And
Well, you probably have an electromechanical meter. Have you examined it visually? Do you know if it's electronic or electromechanical?
It's the same meter that I've had.
Well, you're very lucky. State again? You're in near Chicago or
Illinois? Chicago? I'm in the suburbs.
Yeah, Illinois.
I'm not going to give my address.
This is very unusual. No. But this is very unusual for any kind of urban. In some of the very remote rural areas, or some of the electric co-ops, they're still allowing safe and lawful metering. But most places, they simply don't allow it, and they say, oh, they don't even make those kind of meters anymore. You got to have the electronic meter. And that's a lie. You can get certainly refurbished electromechanical meters, but all you need to do is, if you were a utility company, is write up a PO to any of the makers, and they could make as many electromechanical meters as you want.
Of course.
It's like saying now that we have computers, you can no longer get pencils. You know, that's what they're telling you. Yeah.
When I put a sign on the meter, do not install a smart meter. And that day, the power company came out and knocked on my door, and I said, no, I do not want a change of meters. And they said, well, we're going to have to charge you $20 a month. And I said, that's fine. I will pay the $20 a month, but I will not have a smart meter.
Yeah. Well, that's worth it if you can keep the electromechanical meter. But when it's just another electronic meter, it's not worth it, and it's fraud.
Right.
And we have a notice of fraud at freedomtaker.com to send to your, at emfhelpcenter.com. We have a notice of fraud. If we say that even if they even so much as offer you an opt-out for another electronic meter, that is fraud. They need a notice of fraud so that you will have liability later. You could sue them later, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You do certain noticing. We recommend certain noticing so that if there is ever harm or damage that comes from the meter, then, you know, you're no longer having to battle them in court and say, and they're saying, well, we just didn't know. And you say, no, we sent you a notice. We sent you a notice on such and such a date by certified mail. Here's proof of service. We sent it three times, you know, and you did know, and we did warn you of the liabilities, and inform you of the harm and hazard that you are committing, and you probably know you're committing, but we informed you, as a third party, or as an outside party, and so you are no longer in a state of innocent ignorance. You are now in a state of gross negligence, and as being in gross negligence, you lose. You know, when you go into court, and you've done something wrong, and it's shown that you did it out of gross negligence, which means you knew you were doing something wrong, you did it anyway. That's gross negligence. Mm-hmm. You lose, you know, all the marbles.
I also sent them a registered letter that I would not accept mm-hmm. a smart meter.
Yeah. So, well, you want to, when you send those letters, just a simple refusal can be seen as just a failure of cooperation with their easement. So you don't just refuse. You give cause. And you say your meter is harmful. Yeah, your meter is harmful in this way and that way and this way and violates the law in this way and that way and this way. And therefore, you know, I have cause to refuse that meter, and you do not have cause to refuse me electric service or to penalize me or to charge me any fee or any extra fee for mitigating this hazard and harm. And those are good notices, and everybody should send a notice like that to their utility company, just to have it on record, just as an insurance policy if something happens later. We have those free downloads at emfhelpcenter.com.
And everyone should really visit this page. It's you are so complete in all the help that you offer. You just, it's amazing. I'm just really, really impressed with all the information that you give, all the help that it, the free downloaded documents.
We've tried to make it a high utility site, you know, where you do get solutions, you do get answers. It's right there on the homepage.
Exactly.
Don't have to look around. It's step by step. The one thing that daunts people a little bit, we have a solutions column, and if you want to have the solution and you think you might be susceptible to these issues with exposures and whatnot, you go through the solutions column. That's maybe equivalent mm-hmm. about two pages. It's full of links and this and that. And people look at that and go, oh, it's too long. Oh, there's so much here. No, it's just, it reads
easy. It's your life. My gosh.
It's step by step. Yeah. It's worth the time. And it's not hard. And then you're informed and you know what you can do about it.
Exactly. I know that these smart meters can kill animals. One of our listeners' husbands passed away because of a smart meter. So I've heard a lot of stories about this.
A lot of people's pets have suffered. You know, the pets don't know it. They wouldn't know why they don't feel well. You know, you got a transmitter on the side of your house, or even from people's Wi-Fi. Some of the things people have themselves, their cordless phones. You know, if the cat happens to sleep, you know, 2 inches from the cordless phone base unit, that cat will get cancer. My sister got cancer from shoving her cell phone in her bra. You know, she got cancer right at the shape and form of the antenna on the front of her breast. Breast cancer usually starts around the lymph glands around under the armpit. No,
right.
She got it right on the front, right where she shoved her cell phone into her bra. And this is, this, you know, John McCain, you know, right on his jaw where he kept his cell phone, you know, 12 hours a day, all day long. You know, he loved to use his cell phone. He had mm-hmm. that jaw cancer. Exactly. And there's thousands and thousands of people with those same problems.
Yes. Oh, we're
we got
going
the music.
To the break.
We got the hula music.
Yeah. Okay. We'll hula on out of here. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. Guest is Jerry Day, and his websites are jerryday.com, freedomtaker.com, and emfhelpcenter.com. I don't have a cell phone. I have one. I use it about once every 3 months. All my telephones are hardwired, so I've tried to protect myself.
You're doing better than me. I have a cell phone, but I don't ever take it into a place of business. I don't want to be COVID tracked that way. You know, have them say, oh, you were 6 feet from someone who tested positive, you know, so, and they are tracking. I mean, I pulled up to a PetSmart one day. I was way out in the parking lot and I looked at my cell phone before I went in the store and it said, oh, welcome to PetSmart's Wi-Fi. You know, they know you're there.
Gosh.
Oh yeah, you are online. And I'm very careful about it. I keep it kind of in wraps. You know, you can keep it off and you can keep it in metal boxes and, you know, different things and just kind of not use it much. But I found that because I have a phone number that is my business number from like 40 years ago that I don't have the luxury of not using a cell phone at all. That's
sure.
The number that people know. And I try to minimize that, but that's what I tell others. You know, it's like, you know, it's not absolute. You can't, in this day and age, you cannot eliminate all exposure to technology, especially radio frequencies and electric fields. So you do the best you can. You determine whether or not, you know, what your level of sensitivity is, what your level of susceptibility to disease is. And you act accordingly. You reduce your exposures accordingly as best you can.
Right. Wow. Amazing. Oh my goodness. I originally, when Motorola introduced mobile phones back in '88 or something like that, I bought one, and because I wanted to keep up with technology, but then after I investigated the whole thing, I just stopped. I never really got into using. I had one that was rather up to date and everything, and then I thought I just thought this is not a good idea, and so I stopped using it, and the one that I have is really for my NRA, room. When I took an NRA class, one of the classes that I took was to set up a room in your house, a safe room. And so, I will use my safe room before I shoot an intruder to notify the police that I'm shooting someone.
Sure.
That's pretty much what I use. Well, I haven't done it yet. I haven't used it for that yet. I haven't shot anybody lately. Okay.
Yeah, hopefully you never do have to use your gun or your safe room or anything, yeah.
Exactly. Okay, we're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back with our guests, and we'll take some questions, phone calls, 800-313-9443. Be right back. Is Jerry Day. His websites are jerryday.com, freedomtaker.com, and emfhelpcenter.com. And between vaccines and frequencies, there's a lot of stuff that the consumer, the average person, really needs to consider if they want to maintain their health. And they really do need to stop listening to, well, turn off the TV, and not listen to all of the propaganda, that people hear and take seriously. I turned off my TV in March. I haven't turned it back. I unplugged it. Obviously I'm going to unplug something. I unplugged it. I haven't turned it back on. And I don't miss it a bit. I know what's going on. You can find out what's going on very easily online. And I certainly don't need to be propagandized into believing that I need to wear a mask or whatever. You there?
Are you there? Am I there? Is that a question?
Yeah. Yeah, so.
No. We don't need to be told to wear masks. The CDC has come out with a bulletin which includes 14 peer-reviewed science studies, some of them internal CDC, some of them external. All 14 of them determined that there was no benefit to preventing the spread of infectious disease by the wearing of masks. It simply did not have any effect. These were studies where they followed people who did and did not wear masks. I mean, these were on the street, on the ground, on your feet studies. And there was none of the 14 could come up with any benefit for the mask wearing. And then OSHA has strict guidelines on that. You're not permitted to require mask wearing of an employee, mask wearing is something that is only permitted and only recommended by OSHA when there is number one, some sort of toxic or particulate matter you don't want to be breathing in, and number two, where the masks can be shown to have an effect on that. And so the mask wearing that we're doing, and that we would be told by these non-medical, non-scientific governors and mayors, does not work. There's no evidence or science showing that it does. And there is evidence and science even within OSHA's documents showing that within 2 hours of wearing a mask, you're getting brain damage. And you're getting memory loss. And so we should be...
Oh, my gosh.
We should be fighting that much better than we are. And every store that's requiring these should be told that that's simply not something they're allowed to do. I gave you the name Peggy Hall.
Right.
Peggy Hall has discovered some great legal little tidbits here. And one of them is that... There, in the law, there's a designation of a business referred to as a public accommodation. A public accommodation is any business that allows members of the public to just walk into the business and do business. So that could be a hair salon, a hardware store, it could be a restaurant, anything. So a place of public accommodation is not permitted to commit medical discrimination. And if you say medically, I can't wear a mask, that means they can't make you wear a mask, period, end of story. And they're not allowed to ask you what your medical condition is. They're not permitted to, you're not required to show any medical credentials. You just say, medically, I cannot wear a mask. And they, at that point, cannot discriminate and require you to wear a mask. And that's the law in California, which is worse than, most other states in terms of... allowing businesses to get away with murder. They can't do that. It's a medical discrimination issue, and I'm sure that most states have constitutional provisions where people's rights, medical rights, are protected in similar ways.
Speaking of California, we have a caller from California, John. John.
Yes. Real easy, quick question. This has to do with grounding or earthing, they call it. You know much
right.
about that?
A little bit.
I'm wondering if you think if it's safe, does it depend on telephone lines and things that maybe go underneath the ground or what?
That's a good question, and there is a lot of misunderstanding about grounding and earthing. I'm not a super big fan of it, and here's why. If you have a lot of electrical fields in your environment and you step on an earth mat or barefoot on the grass or whatever, you are drawing all that current through your body like a lightning rod. You don't stand barefoot on the grass in a lightning storm. And so earthing is drawing current from the environment, from the air, through your body into the ground or into the circuit. And so... what the building biologists recommend is that before you do any earthing or grounding, that you clean up your environment so you do not have electrical fields being projected into your living spaces. And you're not living in those exposures. So you minimize those things. You get the line conditioners for the electric wiring system. You make sure things are not plugged in your sleeping area. You check with a scanning meter that you don't have electric fields where you didn't suspect maybe that you had them, but you did. You know, you do some due diligence and you clean it all up. And then even perhaps if there are spaces where you live and you don't need electricity, you shut off the breakers. You know, you minimize your electric field exposures. Well, once you've done that, there's very little need to do the grounding because you don't have the fields. You're not being exposed. So they say the building biologists recommend that you clean it all up. And then if you want to do grounding just to clean up the last bit, go ahead. But even that small amount, by grounding yourself, you are discharging your body, but you are also drawing current from around your body, through your body into the grounding. So you just want to be very careful. I think it's far better to look at your environment and clean up the electric fields and the exposures that way, or if you have to, you know, get out of that physically, or if you can't clean up the environment, just try to get out of there. But, it's better to pay attention to your exposures, from a standpoint of the generated electric fields as opposed to the grounding or earthing. The earthing is not really a solution for that. It's something that feels good, I think, once in a while to discharge your body and, you know, just get those fields out of your body, especially if you're electromagnetic and electric field sensitive. But it's far more important to reduce the exposures that cause you to absorb those frequencies in the first place.
Okay.
Does that
now,
answer your question?
Pretty much, but now we're talking about outside now, say in the backyard or something, and let's just say that this is an older neighborhood where the telephone poles are up above the ground, the telephone lines better, and you know, in other words, everything's above ground, there's nothing going through the actual ground itself. Is that fairly safe or?
Well, it all depends on how the system is designed, engineered, and manufactured. So, you know, grounding is very important. And we had much worse exposures in the early days of electricity when we didn't understand grounding. Once we got grounding, then we got the possibility of really reducing these electric fields quite a bit and preventing a lot of bad exposures. So, the scanning meters come into play. To answer your question, where you could get an electric field scanning meter, there's a thing called a body voltage meter, which you actually hold a conductor in. It tells you how much current is going through your body from the atmosphere into the ground. There are other meters. We like the Cornet ED88T plus meter. We have that on our website at emfhelpcenter.com. We don't sell it, but we recommend people use it, and we have a free video tutorial on how to use it. And this is a meter that will scan and detect electric fields. And so these meters would answer your question. You know, if you hear buzzing and humming and zapping, you know, on the lines over your head, the high tension lines or the on the poles, if you can hear that kind of noise, you are in electric fields. Quite often people have done this experiment where you walk outside and at night and you just hold a fluorescent tube in your hand and you hold that fluorescent tube up toward the wires and it will light up if there are electric fields in the air. And so there are different ways to test for that. You know, that's something you want to get away from. You don't have a choice. You know, you can't just call the company and say, shut down the electricity on these poles here. You know, you can't do that.
Right.
You know, they wouldn't, even if you could, if you knew their phone number, they wouldn't do it for you. So, the building biologists recommend the only solution there is escape. You know, you can't mitigate. You have to simply, vacate. You have to get out of there And you can't, by the way, people don't know the difference between RF and electric fields in this way sometimes. Radio frequencies, you can shield. Electric fields, you cannot shield. You have to filter them. You have to clean it up. And that's why we recommend the whole house line conditioner. Electric fields penetrate everything like gravity or like magnetism. You know, they pass through everything, and there's no shielding effective for electric fields. So you have to reduce them or escape them.
Okay. Very good. Thank you very much.
Very good. Sure.
Thank you, John. The other thing that people can do, it sounds really crazy, is to stand or sit with your bare feet on Himalayan salt blocks. You ever heard of that?
No, I have not. So I couldn't speak to that. Just offhand, I don't quite understand the science behind that, but I'm not going to say it's wrong or right. I have not. It's the first time I've ever heard of that idea.
Yeah, it's just because it has a lot of magnesium and good stuff in it that it draws it, your body draws it in. So it's not really earthing.
Right, I understand. If your body draws that in through the feet, which it may, you know, the feet may absorb minerals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, it would seem like you could accomplish that by making sure you have good mineral content in the foods you eat, healthy foods, and maybe getting some supplements. You could do that either way. If you take supplements, it's hard to imagine you could get more than that by standing on salt. But that's mm-hmm. just imagining. I'm not gonna go on record saying that's wrong or right or good or bad.
Sure.
Transdermal
magnesium mm-hmm. is probably better than taking it, swallowing it. You know, putting it on your skin or taking a bath in it. A non-fluoridated. In non-fluoridated water, which is another problem altogether. We do have another phone call. Mm-hmm. Mark in Georgia.
Hello.
Yeah.
Sorry for the background noise. There's a police car just buzzing right by. You've heard of Dr. Judy Mikovits? She has a book about the case. Actually, part of a pamphlet, the case against math. Hold on a second.
It's Mikovits. Yeah, Mikovits. Judy Mikovits.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering, is Bluetooth less of a problem because of the inverse square? It's not going as far, so it's not as dangerous as, say, the signal that's going from the phone to the cell tower and back?
Give me the beginning of that question again. I didn't quite catch.
Bluetooth
inverse square. Bluetooth. Bluetooth is, in my view, and this is all a little bit conjecture here, a little bit opinion, but in my view, Bluetooth is not better because the transmitter, while being much lower in power level, is usually much closer to your body. And so it's a formula. It's the power level times the distance from your body, you know, there's a variable factor. The inverse square law, which applies to light and everything else, when you go 10 feet away, then you're reducing the exposure by 20 feet's worth. It's like squaring every time you go a certain distance, it doubles the reduction in exposure.
I understand you're multiplying the distance, you know, I was just wondering, I mean, ever since I got that smart meter, I've had a case of chronic bronchitis. Would there be causality with that?
Could be.
Possibly.
Causality is extremely difficult to prove other than by getting out of that for a week or two and seeing if your bronchitis gets better and then going back and seeing if it gets worse. That's about the only way you can really get a handle on that, just because of the mechanisms involved. But you definitely want to try to experiment with that of getting out of that exposure and seeing how that bronchitis responds.
Well, I'm just wondering, if I were to put a piece of steel on the side of a spot pole by the side of my double-wide manufactured home, would that afford any shielding in terms of bouncing the signal away from me?
It may, especially if you ground into that shielding material. It doesn't have to be heavy metal. Doesn't have to be lead. You can do it with sheets of aluminum foil. And that is enough to deflect and absorb radio frequencies. It does not help you with the dirty electricity, and you may have issues with that. And you'll have both with the electronic utility meter. So you can fix the RF and then it not feel better and think, oh, it's not the meter because I fixed the RF. Well, it is the meter, but it's because of the switch mode power supply and the dirty electricity coming from that. So the idea would be to get out of the exposure.
So is there does your website, do you sell some kind of filter that takes this dirty electricity component out?
Yes, the whole house line filter. Okay. We like the Static USA Power Perfect Box whole house line conditioner. It's exactly for that. That company understands electromagnetic sensitivity very well. That's what they're doing. And so, you know, the reducing of the electric fields with a whole house line conditioner solves a lot of other problems. You know, it's good practice to have one. Almost every house should have one because you're preserving your appliances, extending the life of your appliances, you're just saving electricity. But mainly they know at this company that the main benefit is health. So that takes the dirty electricity out of the environment, a major amount of it or all of it. So that's the whole purpose of it.
So this is some kind of component beyond the 60 hertz where it's adding extra frequencies in that are causing problems? Or am I misunderstanding that?
No, that's true. They're called transients. And electricians, senior electricians, understand transients very well because this means that some of the electricity is escaping the lines through airfields, you know, through transmission of electric fields. And that means they did something wrong with the wiring usually. And so a senior electrician who's doing a construction site will go in at the very end with a electromagnetic scanner and scan around for E-fields. And when they find one, they say, okay, here's a wiring error. We got to fix this. That's how they troubleshoot their wiring. And there'll be a cross neutral or ground or some error. It's easy to make errors with, especially with complex wiring grids. So that's how they find them and that's how they fix them. Using a scanning meter that detects electric fields. The line filters are very helpful, to clean all that up because, check your wiring to make sure you have no wiring errors and then put in a filter, especially if you have a utility meter, an electronic utility meter.
Okay. So on your website, you also have a letter that I can send to the, power utilities asking, basically advising them of the dangers that I don't really, as far as they're concerned, I just found out about it. I've heard about this years, but your website is what again?
EMFhelpcenter.com. And we have a notice of liability, a free download document, and you just send them a notice and they have to pay for any harm or damage that they cause. Once they've gotten this notice that they are informed of the hazards and cannot play dumb.
And what's your website again?
EMFhelpcenter.com. Stands for electromagnetic frequencies. So EMFhelp, H-E-L-P, center.com.
World the likes of which we've never...
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes. If we take the lead to change the bad to good.
All right, we are back with our guest, Jerry Day. And that website again is emfhelpcenter.com as well as freedomtaker.com and jerryday.com. Wow, you're just... so informative. It's just, bless you for all of this wonderful information that you're sharing with us. And it's just fabulous. I'm just so impressed.
Thank you.
Yes, it's great. We do have some other callers. Did you want to say anything before we take another call?
I know. This roll with these callers. Let's try to get everybody's questions answered.
All righty. David in Ohio. David?
Hi, Deanna and Jerry.
Hi.
Hey, David.
Hi. I wanted to share some information and then ask you a question and find out if you have an email that I could contact you.
Sure.
I don't wear the mask. And so when I go to places, I don't wear the mask. And I've been denied service twice since all this hysteria started. And I had a hairstylist that's been cutting my hair for a number of years. And I made an appointment. She didn't tell me I had to wear the mask when I made the appointment. So I get to the door. The door is locked. I had to call her and tell her I was at the door. She was pretty abrasive with me. She goes, "Do you have a mask?" I said, "I don't wear a mask." Well, she said, "I can't serve you." And, you know, she's not very savvy, so I said, instead of telling her, you know, "You're violating my natural constitutional rights," I just said, "You're violating my civil rights." And she said she did not care, and she shut the door in my face.
Right.
So I have... the first time I got denied service, I called I live in Ohio, I called the Civil Rights Commission here in Ohio, and so I had to fill out some stuff and send it back, and so on and so forth. But I had an interview the other day, and they wanted to hire me, but they said that I had to wear a mask. I told them I could wear a shield visor, so actually I'm actually breathing, I'm not inhibiting my ability to get oxygen and dispel carbon dioxide. But I told them that I was going, and they said they would honor a medical exemption, and I've attempted to call three doctors, and I got denied three times that they would give me a, you know, they said over the phone that we don't give medical exemptions. And do you have any input on the second, what I said, that part?
Yeah, you need to keep looking for doctors and look for them online first. Doctors who are aware and sympathetic to the issues of oxygen deprivation and reingestion of pathogens. It's obviously a medical hazard, and obviously anybody who considers themselves at risk from that should be given a medical exemption. What you described and what we heard before was this tremendous problem of ignorance. So the lady who, you know, your hair salon, the question for her is, has someone threatened to take your license if you cut my hair without a mask on? And if she says yes, if she says no, then you say, well, then why not cut my hair? You know, obviously someone has threatened their license, and I've spoken to the people who cut my hair, and they say, oh yeah, straight up, we got a written notice in the mail that says we will, I don't know if a direct threat, but your license is in jeopardy if you violate our governor's verbal edicts, you know.
Right.
And that's illegal. That's unlawful. That there's no authority behind that. And so I don't think you'll find anywhere where anyone has actually lost their license, because they don't have the authority to take someone's license for illegally requiring the wearing of some garment or mask or any other paraphernalia. It's just not something that the law permits them to do. So what people are terrified about is losing that license. And this is the problem, I think, that I've sort of zeroed in the last few weeks is this business of licensing things. You know, you take some behavior that's perfectly legal, like running a business. There's no hazard or harm. You know, you're cutting people's hair. You don't need a license. You know, you can have a rating to where, oh, this barbershop is rated A, this barbershop is rated B. Okay, now you can make your decision. I'll go to the one that's B because it's closer and I think they cut my hair okay. You know, you can make your own decision. But when it's the licensing system and the government is claim the privilege to literally destroy a business if they don't behave and conduct themselves, you know, this goes all the way through paying taxes and everything else. They can tax you infinitely because, oh, you have to pay the tax or you lose your license. You know, this is a behavioral control. This is an economic control, this licensing business. So we have to challenge this And we have to say, you have to get into it with your hair cutter, and you have to say, is this because of a challenge to your license? And if they say yes, you say, do you realize that there's no legal authority to deny you a license for not requiring masks? There's no, and they'll go, oh, I don't care. They're going to take my license, and then I have to sue them, and I, blah, blah, blah. So it's a very difficult, it's the ignorance on the part of all the public and even the administrators and the bureaucrats and everyone else that this is totally unlawful.
Okay.
What about an email address?
Gentlemen,
hang on.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back and he'll answer.
It starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
Okay, gentlemen, we are back, and our guest is Jerry Day. The websites are jerryday.com, freedomtaker.com, and emfhelpcenter.com. And we were talking with David in Ohio, and you had one last comment or question that you wanted to address.
He was asking for the email address, I believe. Do we still have David on the line?
I'm here.
Yeah, David, help, the word help, H-E-L-P, at symbol, emfhelpcenter.com. So help at emfhelpcenter.com. Yeah, that's my
great
email.
Is that lowercase?
Yeah, all lowercase, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank sure. you. Take care.
Yeah, and thank you, Deanna, for having this great gentleman on, and thank you, sir, for being on and
thank
sharing
you.
Your wonderful information. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
You too.
Take care.
Okay, let's take Mike in Kentucky. Mike?
There I am.
Here you are.
A second for the, yeah, it took a second for him to put me on there. But, yeah, there's a webpage, a real similar name to yours you might want to look at buying. I just, by accident, I stumbled across it, and it's for sale. But you accidentally clicked on the wrong thing in the search results. But I found your EMF Health Center, and I'm going to – it looks like a lot of interesting things there to explore.
It's not health. It's not the word health. It's help, H-E-L-P. Yeah.
Yeah.
EMF Health
I'm
Center.
Sorry. It sounded like I said health, but I said help. Anyway,
yeah.
meant to say help.
Sure.
There's – there's a few things that come up there in the search results that might knock people over to the wrong place. Yeah, you might.
Always. Oh, they're always playing those games, aren't they?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's kind of stupid, but I've run into that myself with my own stuff that's posted online. But man, you've covered so many topics that are things I have direct experience with. If anyone wants to do this, they don't necessarily need, a whiz bang spectrum analyzer, blah, blah, blah. You can take a karaoke microphone and a cell phone or any kind of, analog microphone, plugged into a guitar amp and just put it underneath of a laptop computer and, turn the Wi-Fi, Bluetooth and all that on and then turn it off. And you can hear the difference. I mean, you'll still hear that dang central processor. I mean, it's going to be going all kinds of noise in that microphone. And
there's
so why in the world?
There's an even simpler way. You take an AM radio and you put it on a static point to where you're just getting that white noise.
Yeah.
And you hold that around the sockets and the electric devices and you will hear that interference. And that is what you might call a poor man's electric field scanner, and certainly your method is just as good.
Well, I've demonstrated it to people, and I'm like, you think about that. You're putting that on the laptop. You call it a laptop computer. Put it on your lap. Right there is your thigh bones with your immune system, your marrow.
Oh, yeah.
Health and
right.
marrow. And you're zapping that, with all kinds of pulse electromagnetic.
And your genitals. Your genitals there.
Well, I did a cartoon meme on that years ago. There's this, ran across this picture of a woman with a laptop on her lap and her arms up in the air like she, had some kind of victory or celebrating being on the internet. And I took that old drug PSA that they had on the air forever. This is your brain on drugs. this is your eggs on laptop.
yep.
It's hard to know what that's doing to us, I think, epigenomically. They just, you know, they still don't, I think, understand epigenomics, but, there's a guy I know and his lawyer both in Texas that have a similar glioblastoma on the right side of their head that's pressing on their optic nerve and is affecting their vision, and they've both been using phones since the late 90s, the cell phones.
Yeah,
and it's not a real, I don't think it's a real coincidence. The lawyer got a novel treatment with antifungals that shrinked his brain tumor. He got a little bit of his vision back. So that's something to really look at is the possibility of using antifungals to shrink those brain tumors down to where you get less. It's always nice, you know, for, you know a problem, but it's nice to have some kind of solution at least. And I forget what
there's
he was
a class
using.
Of, there's a class of yeah. cancer that is extremely susceptible to antifungal therapies. Yeah.
Well, they had a cancer cluster in some town in Australia a few years ago after they put a whole sector, and I was just pointing this out to people in our town today. I was out doing some hiking trail work, and we could see across town, and I said, look at that dorm. On the top of that tower, there's just bristling with, like, I don't know, four different cell phone sectors and all kinds of two-way radios. And I said, how would you like to live in the top three floors of that? I forget what it was. It wasn't Sydney, and it goes back about maybe 12 years ago. They, condemned or whatever the top four floors of a skyscraper after they had rare brain tumors in that right. skyscraper in might have been Sydney or Canberra.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I guess you heard that.
Oh,
one.
Yeah. Well, those stories are all over.
You're with Take Back Your Power, or is that a?
No, actually, I'm friends with Josh Del Sol, who started Take Back Your Power. I think he actually borrowed that expression from an article or video that I made, and I'm hearing that more and more on all kinds of things, even with the masks and the whole thing. This idea of Take Back Your Power is something that resonates now, and we have had our power taken from us. We have had our rights taken from us. That's the idea behind my other website, freedomtaker.com. People question that title. That means take your power. That means nobody gives you freedom. You know, if somebody's giving it to you, granting it to you, it's not your freedom. If you're not taking it and you're not determining what you are entitled to do in your life and making sure everyone else understands that and accommodates you on that, as long as you're not interfering with their life, you have to take that freedom, because any freedom you don't take will be taken from you.
The government granted privilege.
Yeah. The take back your power idea is an idea whose time has come and is here, and we really need to think about that and keep that at the forefront of our minds. Our power is being taken from us. We do have to take it back if we want to have any control of our lives.
Well, I caught him at a radio interview and asked him if I could use his videos locally on a cable access station and with Josh Del Sol the stuff with the smart meters and all that. It's shocking to see that. I mean, the way they the closer you are to the substation and the computers, you get, you know, they ping back to, you know, from 1 meter to the next
in
telemetry, and you get more exposure the closer you are to the substation. Is wacky stuff. I mean, but
that's the name of Josh Del Sol's movie, Take Back Your Power, and the movie covered exactly one of those where it was a college university where they put cell towers right by the dorm and had a cluster of brain cancers right in that tower in that dorm room. So
I've seen the lights on in that tower many a time in the evening. I'm thinking, wow, do they even know what's up on the roof? They don't even think about it. People just see this stuff. And I was wondering if you looked at you're very knowledgeable about the exponential rate of decay that you get, the inverse relationship. And I've talked to people many times that are within sight of a cell phone tower, and they have horrible service. It's just like all choppy and digital. How in the world are we, do they really think us, even back in the days of analog phones, how are we supposed to believe that any cell phone calls were made from a bathroom or anywhere on those planes on September 11th?
Right.
They really think we're just stupid. I mean, some of them were airphone calls, but even one of the airphone call operators was like, there was no background noise. It was clear. It was like they were sitting on the ground, you know.
Right.
But anyway, I'll let you go. But this is very I could probably talk to you for an hour.
It's
a very interesting topic, and a lot of people just are just blowing it off and don't even care.
The ignorance is really the deliberate ignorance, and the people who just refuse to look and search and even accept it when they hear it right in the front of their face. That's really, I think, our greater problem, you know, than the powers that be trying to poison us all day long, is that people are letting them, and then they look at you like, oh, hey, why aren't you wearing your mask? Why aren't you getting your vaccination? Why aren't you doing this, that? You know, it's like all this compliance with this nonsense. And so it's the ignorance and the peer group pressure that we get that's really the greatest annoyance, I find.
Well, we're 70-some percent water, right? If we're healthy, we're like 72 to 77% water. And I didn't know this, but water has a magnetic polarity. The molecule H2O has a plus and a minus, and you can temporarily align that water. I was experimenting with a magnet years ago, and I did a lemonade fast, and I thought, I'm going to put my glass of lemonade on this magnet and see what happens. And within probably...
Yeah, you've got electrolytes in that water then, too.
Exactly. It did something to the tartness, the citric acid or whatever it is, ascorbic acid that's in the lemon juice. It made it taste like soapy water. It took all the tartness out of it. And there used to be a guy on shortwave named Uncle John from Tennessee who had a recipe. If you get a cold, I tried it. It actually worked a couple of times. You take dark chocolate, black tea, and carrot juice that's not been juiced with a motor around it, and take out all the milk and all the dairy out of your diet. And within a couple of, maybe a day to 2 days, I've had a couple of times when I actually broke down and went to the doctor and got all they want to give you is antibiotics or used to. And it didn't go away. The cold kept with me, you know. And when I did this recipe, Uncle John's recipe, boom, it's gone like in, you know, a day and a half. But now I'm doing other things, and it's just so sad that they're censoring all this stuff about zinc and hydroxychloroquine the big thing I found out about recently, ivermectin. I mean, that's shocking to me that ivermectin is totally preventing people from getting this COVID. Known exposures and reversing it or whatever, but they're totally squashing it. I mean,
media is under orders from Big Pharma to put all that stuff away, and that's what they do.
Well, they're shutting down people that's been in business doing these type of practices for 20 years, like Dr. Ng and Dr. Brownstein. FTC shut down their web pages, and you're supposed to leave a mask. Oh yeah, the FTC shut down their web. Their blogs and their YouTubes went private. They had a recipe on YouTube about how to do the nebulized hydrogen peroxide, and they were given intravenous vitamin C. And they've treated the flu for 20 years doing this stuff. And the FTC, well, you don't have science to back up what you're doing. Well, that's how science is made. You know, you do studies on your own patients, and you get willing submissive subjects to do the studies, and you collect the data, and it's just ridiculous what they're doing. There was a chiropractic clinic outside of Chicago that made an example out of. The FBI came in and shut them down for giving free vitamin C intravenously to first responders that have been exposed to COVID. They shut them down.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, so they're really pushing this idea that there's not going to be anything but a vaccine that's going to be allowed to be the solution.
Wow.
Right. And I like to tell people that the vaccines, I heard a couple of radio talk show hosts in L.A. say, oh, well, we got to get this vaccine because there's no other way you're going to get immune. And what a lie. You have an immune system. That's how we get immune. We get a mild exposure, we get antibodies, and we're immune. And that's how most of us get through these things. And
doing everything they can to prevent it.
To say
everything they can to prevent herd immunity.
Yeah, exactly. Vaccines interfere with that. We've already got herd immunity. I mean, when a pathogen's been around for more than about 90 days, you basically got herd immunity by that time. And so this vaccine at this point is pretty much useless. So, you know, we're, most of us are immune to this by now.
I got to try to convince everybody they need a new one every year, though. I'll bet you.
Nope. Yeah, I would disagree. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, Mike. Appreciate your time.
All right, bye.
Yeah. Thank you, Mike. Okay, let's take Dr. Kelly in California. Dr. Kelly?
Dr. Kelly Royce?
Yeah, thank you so much. It's great to hear your voice, Jerry. Thank you so much.
I know you.
You're really a grounder yourself. You know, when we're affected by these things and we don't realize it, I was able to get in touch with Jerry and he'd ground me with common sense. And I just wanted to point out two things, that Southwest Gas Paiute Pipeline up here in NorCal and a couple places in SoCal, I sent them a little notice and required removal of their, they got these super smart meters on the gas regulators. And when I was down at your place or down at my nephew's, I came home and they have the Trojan horse, what appears to be the analog mechanical meter. And up in the Truckee area, the water smarts meters were replaced, the water analog was replaced with a water smarts meter. And the batteries, most of them died. And I had given you a call and, you know, here's the company fraudulently billing people without any idea of how much, if any, water they're using. And I also recently came across a random photograph in San Bernardino, which I believe is Southern California Edison, and there's an electronic smart meter on the home, and it's the one with the two blue stripes. And from that same time era, I also found a doggy coronavirus vaccination schedule and price list for $5. And then on the inside of the flyer from 2005, it says that this is optional and you shouldn't overburden your dog's immune system for diseases posing no threat. So thank you so much, Deanna, for all of your work, and Jerry. And I'd really love for the people to wake up and go after the public utilities that have interfered with our rights with this trespassing technology. And I think that they should all be liable for and have to pipe in and trench in fiber optic for the harm that they've done at no cost to us, and provide free computer access for those of us, you know, for the rest of our lives, for what they've done.
Well, there are certainly a lot there they have to be held accountable for. The idea of just blanket toxifying our environments and our living spaces with radio frequencies without any apparent limit, without any apparent interest in referring to any health effects, it's obviously major crime. And yes, there needs to be some accountability at some point. And there will be. It happened with asbestos, tobacco, DDT. You know, it'll happen here. But it's just the more money you make, the longer it takes to beat it. And wireless is far more profitable than tobacco, asbestos, DDT combined. Wireless is everywhere, and most customers just love their cell phones and are happy to pay for it and feed that beast. So this is going to be a very, very long and difficult battle. Ultimately, sooner or later, people are going to realize that they don't want to be toasted with radiation and electric fields all day. And we're going to eventually fix this. And thank you for helping keep awareness on that.
Yeah, and thank you, too, for so much of your generous support and your productions. And, you know, it's a real pleasure to have at least one good man in the southern part of the state. And thank you so much again. Have a great day.
Thank you, Kelly. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. We have certainly been fed a lot of wonderful things. The EMF Help Center, okay, we've got vaccines to worry about, which you've provided two documents that we can download. And
those are at freedomtaker.com.
Right.
The vaccine forms, freedomtaker.com, different website, yeah.
Right. Okay. We do have Sherry in Kansas. Let's take her phone call. Sherry?
Yes, hello. Jerry, you were talking about shielding on a smart meter.
Right.
Would this work? My son was in an apartment. Fortunately, he's no longer in this apartment. But they had a bank of smart meters on the outside of their apartment. Mm-hmm. And I was trying, could you just like cover the back of a big mirror or a picture or something with foil, heavy duty foil?
That actually does help. That is a valid way of shielding. And you don't have to worry about being able to see the shielding material. So of course you could do the back of something. You can purchase curtain material that just looks like fabric curtain, which is shielding material. That's it. You can find those types of things at a website called lessemf.com. And so there are many, many ways, some of them disguised, some of them not, you know, that you can do shielding. And you're right, yes, you can put that behind the painting, but you have to make sure you're careful about the positioning of the painting. And ideally, the shielding is at least, say, 3 or 4 feet square and then centered on the utility meter, and that's where you'd want to be effective against the radio frequencies. You want to do line conditioning for the dirty electricity as well. But yes, that's a perfectly valid way of shielding. Shielding works a little better when it's grounded. You know, when you connect the material, the shielding material, to a ground, it's
okay.
It's like a different, yeah.
Could you comment on, there was some really weird looking things out there in the fires in California a couple years ago. And there's this one lady, she was with Eagle Forum, her name's Earlene something, and she said that her neighbors had smart meters and she didn't, and her house did not catch on fire.
Wow.
Right, yeah. Yeah, the surges, that can be intentional or not, but they should know about it and they should prevent it. But when you have a fire and if a transformer system goes, like, you know, you see these transformers, they look like trash cans up on phone poles. If one of those things goes, you can have a surge somewhere else, and the surge will destroy all the electronic utility meters. It will not destroy any of the electromechanical meters, the old traditional ones. So the surge can be caused by the fire. Now, there were other very, very weird things about those fires. There was directed beam energy, apparently. There were houses completely burned down to ash, including all of the metal contents, and then the adjacent trees weren't even burned. You know, I mean, there were some very, very strange things happened there that indicate obvious foul play. But as far as the the surge issue, that could have happened anyway, you know, without necessarily any intentional targeting. It looks like intentional targeting of certain homes, but it's really just the fact that somebody allowed them to put an electronic utility meter on their house, and they were therefore vulnerable to that kind of surge damage.
Okay, thanks. That's all I had.
Okay, sure. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Shelley.
Yeah.
Sherry, yeah, thank you.
Those images with the trees and everything, it was just incredibly weird. And, of course, I know that if you don't take care of the lumber and you don't clean out your forest and all this other stuff. However, the images were not necessarily in the forest. They were actually communities. And as you say, the trees were fine. It was the houses that were burned.
In some neighborhoods, it was uncanny how you looked down a whole row of houses and every house is totally destroyed, and all the trees between them are still standing and still green. So this is not how fires work. And there were even articles in kind of firefighter trade magazines going, what is this? You know, we've never seen anything like this. You know, there's no question this is something that's noticed even by the firefighters, that something is very wrong with this picture.
Right. Your websites are so comprehensive, and they just you have so much help that if they visit your websites, and let's repeat again what they are: jerryday.com, freedomtaker.com, and emfhelpcenter.com. And we have run out of time. Bless your heart.
Thank you, Deanna.
You're terrific. You're absolutely terrific. And
appreciate
thank you so
the
much.
Opportunity.
We'll do it again. Thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, bye-bye, listeners, and we'll chat with you next week. Take care. Be careful. Don't wear a mask.